Good morning, Rabbi Fein. This is my first morning here, my first time I've been here. I apologize in advance if I've misjudged the chashivas of the Olam and what I'm going to tell you, Dvarim Pshutim, that you all know already, perhaps even better than I do, probably better than I do. But nevertheless, I have been in Chinuch for many years, and possibly I may be able to tell you a few things from the other side of the table, from the perspective of the principal of the school or the teacher of the school. We find in the beginning of this week's Sedra, we are told to take Shemen Zayis Zoch for the Menorah. And Rashi says that each Zayis we only use the single drop towards the Menorah. That means one can only imagine how many Zaysim, how many olives one needed to get a full log of oil to use for the Menorah. Nowadays, when you go into a supermarket, you see a wide range of oil there. I once went to try and buy some oil for my Hanukkah menorah. I went to a superstore or a hyperstore, one of these 24-hour stores, and there are thousands of bottles there, extremely difficult to choose. There's a huge range. It ranges from the extra virgin, the pure, the not so pure, and those which can only be used for lighting and not for eating, not for food. Yet we find in the Torah it's the other way around. We find that the oil which was used for the korbanos, which was used for the food, any oil could be used. Masha'in came, the oil used for the menorah, for lighting, that one had to be especially pure, and only the first drop of each size was allowed. And says the Mayim HaTorah, Mayim HaShavuah, he says that this tells us an important limit. There's everything else at the Mishkan, there's an important limit here. Because when we talk about the oil which is used for menorah is the limit for the chinuch of our children. We speak about our children and we say Neira Yoy, you speak about a child, and you mean that his light should light, his potential should be fulfilled. Now, in order to fulfill somebody's potential, that his light should shine brightly, you need pure olive oil. The purer the oil, the more likely his potential will be to be fulfilled. So, if we are interested, as we all are, in fulfilling our children's potential, we have to make the chinuch for them has to be as pure as possible and have to be promoted in the best possible way. So I put together a few things here which I found over the years that made a huge impact on the way Talmidim respond to their chinuch. And I'll try to put it together in an acronym so it's easier for us to remember. Today being Thursday, we'll take the letters of Thursday as the acronym. First letter, T, I apologize here, because T should stand for tefillah, because without tefillah, nothing will work. All the aitzes in the world, to be mechanech our children, nothing will help us more than tefillah. However, in order for the acronym to work successfully, I've left tefillah till the D of Thursday, and it comes under davening. So T stands for tired. There are so many boys, unfortunately. I know boys better than girls. I've been teaching boys. There's so many boys who come to school tired. I say to a boy, "Did you sleep well last night?" He says to me, "How do you know?" He's got bags under his eyes. He can barely keep his eyes open. He's tired. And so often pupils come to school tired. A tired person just can't function. It's obvious. And I think, I have no doubt, that that's why there's such a yetzer hara about going to bed at night. It's very, very difficult to get people to go to bed at night. Not only children, but adults as well. In particular, if one has a range of children, and the older ones go to bed later, the younger ones don't want to go to bed earlier, it can take me an hour and a half to 2 hours to get my children to bed, Baruch Hashem, but I feel the time is worth it. I think it's important that one has vital to put in the time and the effort to try and get children to bed on time. Tired, it's not for nothing that T is the first letter of Thursday. Tired is a very major factor in chinuch. The next thing, TH, the next thing is hungry. A child that comes to school hungry, hasn't eaten properly. Again, very similar to tired. One can't function unless one is rested, unless one is satisfied. We move on to the U. The U is unfocused. There are children who sit in class, and the Rebbe's giving a shiur, and the children are listening, he's caught them, but you have the two or the three or the four whose minds are away somewhere else. And one wonders why don't they have cheshek for learning? Why aren't they focused on the learning? And the answer usually is because their minds are focusing on other things. The forms of media that we have nowadays, the televisions, the videos, the DVDs, the computers, all those mediums which are a combination of seeing and listening. You watch something and you listen at the same time, that makes such a powerful impression on the brain that the boy can be trying to concentrate on the shiur and the computer game is whizzing by in his mind. Because he's been spending too much time on the computer, it's impossible for him to focus. The shiur of the Rebbe just can't compete with the visual audio effect that he's had, the audio visual effect he's had from what he's seen on the computer. So U stands for unfocused. The R is removal or removed. Their voice were absent. Yeah, I know it's difficult. We live in a generation now that every child has to attend every family simcha and every neighbor's family simcha and every cousin's and the chutzin's family simcha. And in a hurry, you have large families, and especially when you get to the younger children of the family, there's so many reasons for them to be absent from school. But once again, we don't always realize the impact if somebody is absent from school. What does it mean for the child? I had a case quite recently, actually. A boy, a young boy, year one, needs help in his reading. And we all know how critical reading is to be able to read properly for the chinuch all through the system. So his Rebbe very kindly arranged special lessons with a reading expert. The Rebbe even went and raised the money because the family couldn't afford it. And everything was set in motion. We got to the second lesson and the boy is suddenly absent. His parents had suddenly taken him away for 3 weeks. Who knows if this system of private lessons will be able to be restarted? Who knows if the boy's lost out on a major chance to succeed in future life? That's one instance, and that's an exaggerated one, taken away for 3 weeks. But even if a boy's missing just for one morning, sometimes the Rebbe can be explaining something and the boy misses the main point of the sugya, and for the next week or two discussing the same sugya, and he's missed it because he's been away just for a couple of hours. From our side of the fence, as I'm saying, from the school side of the fence, if a boy's missing often, it's a terrible manier. It does the opposite of promoting his chinuch. The S stands for special situations. Here the family can't really do anything, can't really do much about it, apart from being aware that if there's something special going on, it will affect, obviously, the son's performance. If there's a birth in the family, a simcha in the family, or Rachmana Litzlan, a chayla, there's somebody not well in the family and the parents are preoccupied looking after the chayla, or indeed if the parents are away and the child doesn't have the regular people looking after them, there's not very much one can do about it, apart from alerting the school. You tell the school about it, and the school are aware, they will treat the boy differently and help to promote his learning. We've reached the D. The D stands, of course, for davening. As we mentioned before, it should be first, because nothing, with all the aces in the world, sometimes one sees that what are known as dysfunctional homes, the children do very well, and well-functioning homes, the children don't do so well. At the end of the day, it's down to tefillah, it's down to siyata dishmaya, and without davening on a regular basis for the chinuch of our children, we will not be as matzliach as we could be. And finally, we move on to AY. AY, we have to cheat a little bit here, and it stands for, and it's your choice. It's your choice which rebbe to get for the children. We find in the Medrash. The Medrash concerns the Megillah. The Megillah talks about there was a gzeira against Klal Yisrael, Hashmid La'arig La'aved. Klal Yisrael are in mortal danger, they're all going to be killed. So the decision is made, we're going to fast for 3 days and three nights. After fasting for two full days, Balayla hu nododosh nas ha-melech, Haman's on his way to request from HaMelech Ahasuerus that he should hang Mordechai. And he comes along and suddenly hears from the king that I found written in my book that I owe a favor to Mordechai HaTzadik, taken through the streets and Kochei Yosel Ish. This is the first sign that Klal Yisrael received that there's a possible Yeshua, and it's after two full days of fasting. So Haman has to go and find Mordechai. The Gemara says he went the next morning to find Mordechai Tzaddik. It's the third day of fasting already. The third day of fasting, one would expect you find a person in bed. He's barely able to function. Instead, we find in the Medrash that he found Mordechai Tzaddik in the Beis Medrash, and he was learning with his Talmidim. And the Medrash says when Mordechai saw Haman coming, he said to his Talmidim, "This is the end. This Rosh is coming to kill me. Escape, so you shouldn't also suffer from his murderous intent." So Talmidim replied to Mordechai and they said to him, "If you die, we're prepared to die with you." So Mordechai HaTzadik stood up and he started davening, convinced it was his last moment. So Haman went and sat down to wait till Mordechai was finished. And while he was waiting, he asked the Talmidim, "What have you been learning?" So they said, "Well, today is Tezai Nisan, second day Pesach, because Mambe Tamigdosh we were Makir of the Korban Oimer, which is a small amount of Sa'irim, and that's what we're discussing." So Haman said to the Talmidim, "Your small amount of Sa'irim has come along and has overpowered my 10,000 silver shkolim which I gave to Amelech Achashverosh." Now this is a well known medrash, but there's one point we want to take out of this medrash, and that is when Mordechai HaTzadik said to his Talmidim, he said, "Escape, your lives are in danger." And Talmidim said, "If you die, we'll die with you." What a wonderful kesher these Talmidim must have had with their Rebbe. It's not an ordinary kesher that the Talmidim can turn around to the Rebbe and say, "We're prepared to put our lives in danger just to be with you." And that is of course the ideal situation, that the children should look up to the Rebbe should be the most important things in their life. So therefore when one looks for a school, one is promoting one's child's chinuch by looking for the correct school. Obviously one takes into account social aspects, who you want your son to be friends with and who you'd like to meet at the school gate. But one should also bear in mind of course the importance of having a Rebbe who the child will be able to relate to, who the child will have this special relationship with, and then he'll gain so much from it. So that is Thursday, Rosh Hashanah. T was for tired, H for hungry, U for unfocused, R for removed, for absent, S for special occasions, D for davening, and AY, and it's your choice to choose the correct Rebbe. Please be aware that it's so important to choose the correct Rebbe. So you've chosen the Rebbe, and you've decided which school to send your child to. Now, it's vital that one decide at that stage that one is going to support the teacher and the Rebbe 100%. Now, it's very obvious, and it's very easy to say, and it's a very simple thing. But, on the other hand, I found myself in a difficult situation once, because I feel that I'm a veteran mechanech already, and I was sending my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, to be taught by a girl who was half my age, who didn't have any experience in chinuch, and somehow I got to promote to my daughter that this is the best mechanech as possible and she'll do well with this teacher. So the first thing was, I wrote a note to the teacher. I wrote to the teacher telling her how I had heard how wonderful she was in looking after children and how excellent she is in chinuch, and I'm looking forward to her teaching my daughter, and if there's any way I can help, and I gave various examples of what things I may be able to help her, I'll be happy to do so. The next day she stopped me in the street and said to me, "How do you know these things you wrote about me? How do you know that I'm so good at chinuch?" So Baruch Hashem, I hadn't written anything stupid. I was able to back up what I said. I said you taught at the Shabbos group, and my daughter used to come home and say wonderful things that you taught her. We had a relationship. My daughter was her favorite pupil for the rest of the year. Everybody is human, and teachers, principals, everybody in chinuch do have favorites. We're supposed to treat everybody equally. We do treat everybody equally, but some are more equal than others. And in order to promote your own child's chinuch, it's a wonderful idea to get in touch with the teacher at the beginning of the year, even before they've taught, and make that connection, open lines of communication, and it will definitely help your child. Somebody asked me recently in the summer holidays, he says to me, "I'm sending my first child to kindergarten, and the child's a bit problematic. should I tell the teacher before the child starts kindergarten, or should I wait till after started, the teacher finds out for themselves for the first few weeks, and then afterwards I'll go and discuss it? So I suggested a third way. I said to him, the first thing to do is approach the teacher and say how happy you are that she's teaching your child. That's the first thing. Open lines of communication. A week or two later, do this a couple of weeks before the term starts. Then a week or two later, just before term starts, then phone them up a second time after you've established a relationship and say, actually, my son has this and this difficulty. I believe you should be aware of it, and I'd like to help you solve it. And let's work together to do the best for my son. He texted me on Rosh Hashanah, I think it was, and said to me it was wonderful advice. It worked a dream. Open lines of communication, and then afterwards, one can't open lines of communication by saying, I'm so glad you're teaching my child needs help. Because the teacher thinks, you're only saying you're so glad you're teaching because you want the help. You have to do it in two stages, open lines of communications without any buts, and then, if necessary, seek the extra help. And as we mentioned, one has to decide the emes to appreciate them. One has to decide and make it clear in one's own mind that whatever the teacher says is toyas emes, that's correct. And if the child comes home with something, don't pull a funny face and say, well, some say that, but we do it otherwise. I think there's a story I heard recently from Rav Aaron Benderovich, which I think bears repeating. He tells of the case where his child came home just before Rosh Hashanah and said, Daddy, in the reception child, and said, Daddy, we learnt all about Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah night, we're going to have apples, and we're going to have pomegranates, and we're going to have honey, and we're going to dip sweets in honey. So he says to the child, you don't really mean dip sweets into honey. What you mean is we dip things into honey because honey is sweet and we want to make those things sweet. So the child says, no, Daddy, we dip sweets in honey. My teacher said so. We dip sweets in honey. And he tried several times to convince the child that she had got it wrong, but the child wasn't having it. My teacher said so. So then the Benderovich household that year, on Leil Rosh Hashanah, they dip sweets in honey. The teacher is right. And if one really feels it oneself, the child will get the message. If the father feels that the teacher is still young and inexperienced and has a few things to learn, that reaction, that feeling even, will be felt by the child. The child senses how the parents feel, and one can't fool oneself by saying, I keep telling my children they have to listen to the teacher. That doesn't help. If only if the parent himself is so convinced that the teacher is correct, it's in his bones, then the child will accept that, and then the child will takabi matzliach. Yeah. I know it's only 10 to 9 Rabbi Sight, but unfortunately that's all I've prepared for this morning. I thank you very much for listening, and I apologize again if I've misjudged the chashivas of the Olam, and I wish you all lots and lots of atzlacha in promoting the chinuch of your children in Yisrael.